You're listening to the Sermon Podcast from St. Albans Episcopal Church in Waco, Texas. Find us online at stalbanswaco.org to learn more.
Let us pray. Almighty God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, we pray. Amen. The game was called the Cones of Dunshire. It showed up several years ago on the TV show Parks and Rec. It was during a time when the character portrayed here, Ben Wyatt, was going through a thing. And so in his spare time, he creates this tabletop game. And what ended up happening is that this tabletop game that Ben Wyatt created was a perfect parody of these tabletop games that a lot of people are into nowadays, and some of you might be familiar with these. They're the kind where you open the game and get the pieces out, and it's going to be about an hour and a half before you actually start playing. You have to figure out the minute details of every single possible iteration of every single possible rule, and a lot of these games now will tell you, this is too complicated, just go watch the YouTube video. Some of you actually like this. I'm related to people who actually like these kinds of games. But if you're like me, trying to sit down and figure out the rules before you start playing is the worst possible thing in the world. You, like me, may have once uttered the phrase, let's just sit down and play around and we'll see how it goes. You're right-brained, you're more experiential. Whereas people who want to know all the rules first before playing the game are more process-oriented, more left-brained. However you learn how to play a new game, most of the games that we play are what James Carsey, who was a professor of history and literature at NYU, once upon a time in this book called Finite Games. A finite game, according to Professor Carsey, is a game that has a beginning and an ending. Finite games are played for the purpose of winning, whether that is a sport like baseball, the best game, or a board game like Monopoly, or a strategy game like chess. Finite games end when someone wins. The game does not exist unless you actually decide to play it. Either you get the game out and play it and put it away, or the fans in this case gather to watch the game, play ball, game begins, players play, and then either the clock runs out or some other condition is fulfilled, like the 9 innings in baseball or 3 days in cricket, whatever it is. The finite games have boundaries, okay, so there's a temporal boundary. The game is going to last a certain amount of time or until that winning condition is fulfilled. It's got a spatial boundary, as does a baseball field, right? There are places that are out of bounds, places that are in bounds, or there's a literal board. There's a numerical boundary often as well. There's a fixed number of players. There's a board or a field. And most importantly, the rules of a finite game do not change. If you want to play the game, you have to abide by the rules. And if you don't, you are penalized or kicked out, and then you cease to be playing the game anymore. So finite games are closed. After the game is over, you go back for a post-game analysis, right? You sort of figure out, I should have made this move instead of that move, or we should have done this instead of that. Coaches watch tape. And it's a zero-sum game. There is a winner, there is a loser. Yeah, I know in chess you can stalemate, but, you know, there's no two winners, right? You either win or you lose. Both sides cannot win a finite game. However, if you have ever watched children at play, especially during recess on the playground, you will know what an infinite game, according to Professor Carsey, looks like. Infinite games are open. They have fluid rules, which often change subject to the whims of the creators of the game. There's no fixed amount of time for an infinite game. Sometimes playground games can literally go on for the entire school year. Players can enter, players can exit. Sometimes players aren't even aware of the rules of the game. There is no winner or loser to an infinite game. Because the point of an infinite game is not victory. The point is to continue the game. That's why it's infinite. It's very much like Calvin Ball, which is the perfect illustration of an infinite game. A game that the character in Calvin and Hobbes, Calvin, plays with his stuffed tiger, Hobbes, who really does come to life. So we have two shining examples today in our readings of what happens if we were to see life as a finite game. And before we get there, I want to consider what that means. Seeing life as a finite game means that we think the point of life is to win. To maximize happiness, we have to maximize certain aspects of life that are measures of our worth and value. We imagine that the world operates according to this set of rules, and we think that if we just play by the rules, we could emerge victorious, a winner. If not now, then at some undetermined future point. I used to be a teacher, and I used to see this tragic outlook in my students all the time. It's not their fault. They have inherited this view of life as a finite game from their families, from nearly every cultural influence around them, even at times from the church. They want to learn the rules for success, which might mean a certain type of degree, a particular kind of job, one in which there are metrics and goals and participation is rewarded in certain ways. And what inevitably happens, at least in my experience in education, is when students think this way, they imagine that this is the goal of learning. The goal is to attain certain scores so that you can get into certain colleges. And I used to play devil's advocate with my students and sort of say, okay, well, what happens after you get into this college? Oh, well, I'll get a good job. Okay, well, what happens after that? Well, I'll start feeling, okay, then what happens that? And we would go on and on and on until we got to the end. And I said, so what's the point? Retirement? Is that what you're working for when you're in high school? Of course, the win also in this way of thinking means that others lose. Seeing life as a finite game requires this outlook. If I am promoted, someone else isn't. If I am awarded or recognized or advanced, then someone else doesn't. That's just the way the game is played. We actually use those words to talk about what it is that we're doing. Those conflicts and disputes among you, where do they come from? James says. Do they not come from your cravings that are at war within you? You want something, and you do not have it. So you do whatever it takes to win the game. You're asking for the wrong thing, James says. You are seeking the wrong thing. You are looking at the world the wrong way. You're busy fighting and asking yourselves, who is the greatest? The disciples were viewing life, even following Jesus, as a finite game as well. A finite amount of resources for which they were competing. In this case, that finite resource was power or authority or closeness to Jesus. Maybe they were understanding that God only had so much love to give, so they had to fight for it. They had to emerge victorious. After all, if one of them ended up being the greatest disciple, the best manager, the CEO of Jesus Incorporated, then the others of them would also have not been the greatest disciple. Seeing life as a finite game is really a form of what the New Testament calls enslavement to the powers, the spiritual forces of wickedness at work in the world. Seeing life as a finite game is a vision of the world that is ultimately hopeless because it is focused on exactly the wrong things. Seeing life as a finite game is a graceless existence, a world in which we think we can earn God points and cash them in for some sort of spiritual bonus at the end of life. The wisdom from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, willing to yield, unlike Waco drivers, full of mercy and good fruits, without a trace of partiality or hypocrisy. A harvest of righteousness is sown in peace for those who want to make peace. Whoever wants to be first must be last and servant of all. Both James and Jesus reject this outlook. The gospel rejects this outlook because the gospel is good news. And the good news is that God's love and mercy and grace are infinite resources, not finite ones. The gospel is good news because we are not trying to win. We are all in the same boat. We are all glorious failures. And in ceasing our striving and giving up and yielding, as James says, in serving rather than measuring ourselves, we are given what we never could have earned for ourselves. True victory. Eternal life. The life that Jesus wants to give us is abundant life, and it is much more like the games of children on a playground than the game of climbing the ladder of success that never gets us quite to the top. The gift of grace, the gift of abundant life, is something that flows from God's very heart. It's boundless as the ocean, borderless and larger than the universe itself. In God's love and infinite wisdom, we see that the kingdom of God, as Jesus embodied and taught and proclaimed, is an infinite game. It's the world as God sees it. That world is life-giving. It is communal. We are in it together. We are not alone, but we share the gifts and the consolations and the sorrows and the joys of those around us. It is a world that is surprising and joyful, even in times of difficulty and sorrow, because we see that difficulty and sorrow are not punishments that are given to us for failing to play the game correctly. They're part of what it is to be human, and that we have a companion and Savior, Jesus Christ, to accompany us in and through every grief. It's a world that relies on cooperation rather than competition, a world in which no one has any right to God's favor or grace, because we're all in desperate need of it together. It is a world in which we are able to say, "I don't know," at times, to acknowledge that there is a deeper mystery at the heart of creation than we finite and limited creatures are able to speak. It is a world in which it is possible to hope, to know that we are part of this mystery in ways that we might not understand, but that we plant the seeds of gospel joy and gospel living wherever we go. We are impatient people. We are practical-minded people. We want to know the rules. We want to know what the outcomes will be before we start. And that does work for finite games, and it does work for certain parts of human experience. I mean, I do want my home builder to build my home to code and to do the job well, but that's not the whole picture. We imagine at times that all of life, even our life of faith, is something that we will one day finish, tied off with a bow, and neatly wrapped up. One of the most meaningful parts of my work here as a priest are funerals. And I can tell you that no one ever has everything tied up neatly at the end. No one ever finishes life the way that they had imagined they would. And yet every time I have this immense privilege of burying someone, I have this image of God's grace finishing and completing this incomplete life. God making the measure of this precious life according to mercy, not judgment. God continuing the infinite game in God's good pleasure and according to God's good purposes. This grace of God is a beautiful and shocking thing. It means that the point of life is not to strive and attain the peace of God which passes all understanding. The point is to recognize that it is already here. It is already among us. It has already been given to us. It is a gift. And like a child, there is nothing for us to do except to play and to take that gift and to be grateful. Let us pray. Almighty God, in your infinite wisdom, you have given us this world as a gift. And you have given us Jesus Christ to show us and to embody and to live abundantly. We pray that you would give us the grace to see this abundant life in front of us today and always. Amen.
Thanks for listening to the Sermon Podcast from St. Albans Episcopal Church in Waco, Texas. Find us online at stalbanswaco.org to learn more.